The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Today's show is all about understanding our own personalities through ancient Dharma types. Simon Chokowski, author of the book The Five Dharma Types, Vedic Wisdom for Discovering Your Purpose and Destiny, is with us. You know, I read this book and found some very, very interesting things about myself. It makes me understand that perhaps these things that I don't like about myself is perhaps the very reason that I came here to experience it. Simon is so articulate, and he really makes things very interesting. He has a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure you are really going to love this show and his book. So sit back, relax, kick your feet up, and tune in to tonight's message. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the Law of Attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to LawofAttractionTools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's LawofAttractionTools.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Hey, check out our new pretty website. It's different. It's not your normal radio station, but it sure is beautiful. Visit Law of Attraction Radio Network or LOARadionetwork.com on your computer or laptop. It's way too big for you to see through your smartphone or iPad. You need the apps for that, but come in and check us out. I think you're really going to find it fascinating because it's so different. Now, I want to mention our upcoming event, The Field of Abundance, the science behind the Law of Attraction, featuring Mr. Jack Canfield. The Chicken Soup of the Soul series is really getting quite exciting. You know, this is an event where we are taking all of the foo-foo out of the Law of Attraction and delivering real scientific evidence that the Law of Attraction is real, it's authentic, and when you learn the scientific principles behind it, you are better able to bring about exactly what you have been missing. So many people have said the Law of Attraction doesn't work. And why is that? We have been depending on the metaphysical and not so much the scientific evidence, which shows us how the brain works in regards to the Law of Attraction. We intend to bring new information from science in order for us to retrain our brains into evolving to another level. This is what this event is all about. Now, we have Harvard-trained cardiologist Cynthia Thack, MD, delivering amazing information about the heart's brain. And then we have Dr. David Che, who wrote the best-selling book, Total Law of Attraction, and he's going to be talking to us about the fascinating world of science that brings us a greater understanding of how to get the Law of Attraction working for us scientifically. We also have brain scientist Shante Taylor, who talks about where thoughts are born and how we can effectively rewire our brain to literally create what we're desiring. We also have world-renowned Purusha Taylor, who has studied the workings of the brain for the last 50 years and knows how to merge the brain, the emotions, and business together. And, of course, we have the brilliant entrepreneur and success coach, Mr. Jack Canfield, who will inspire our audience to dream big. Now you're finally going to be able to get the vital information that you can depend on. And we are giving you the real education about the law of attraction. It's not just based on intuition. It's not just based on the metaphysics. We are bringing the science and the data behind it to back it all up. Tickets go on sale soon, so join us for this fabulous weekend in Los Angeles, California, on October 17th through 19th, 2014. Before we bring Simon out talking about the five Dharma types, I want to talk about self-responsibility, which to me is the basic bottom line of the understanding of the law of attraction. The fact that you create all of your life experiences is a rude awakening for most people who are new to the law of attraction field. The good news is that with the recognition that you are creating your life and some forgiveness thrown in, you can start taking charge as the designer of your life, no longer a victim of life's random circumstances. You become self-responsible. Knowing that you're responsible for your experiences and always have been gives you the opportunity to start creating from the experiences you would like to have rather than experiencing life through default. A great deal of personal power is available to you, much more than you have ever imagined. By personal power, I'm not talking about the kind of power that you have over others. I'm talking about inner power, the power of self-confidence and self-esteem. When you have that kind of power, there is no need or desire to have power over anyone or anything else. I sometimes think back to the days that I worked as CEO of a chamber of commerce, and a few of our board members appeared, well, to me anyway, to need power. The power over others type. It seems like they wasted a lot of time and talents, theirs, in business review sessions and intimidating the staff. They were good at generating fear and stimulating feelings of inadequacy. And it's really a shame some of them didn't have the personal power to act more like coaches. I can look back and actually see that the Chamber of Commerce would have been much more effective for its members if the board could have been kept in check. It's nice to look back and see the situation from a new perspective. It feels good to know that their beliefs created their experiences and my beliefs created mine. This takes away all the blame. But what would a young CEO attract to myself if I had the subconscious limiting belief, it's always my fault? I am constantly putting myself in situations where I have to defend myself, trying to prove that it wasn't my fault. Not a comfortable position to be in, but that's how limiting thought forms work. And I'm glad that this one has been resolved. As soon as you begin to experience the power of changing your belief, you can immediately change your life. And you begin to develop your self-confidence and self-esteem and choose the situations that you want to be in or remain in. It's about taking your power back and not being limited by your own beliefs. It's about changing a situation that doesn't work for you into something that does. You can change your thoughts or you can change your environment. You can actually leave a situation where you are not feeling comfortable. That is taking your power back. Now, when we examine a little further the concepts that your beliefs determine your experiences, we will see that your experiences are driven by your beliefs. And you can use the outer events to see what you really believe. This is often referred to as mirroring. The universe that you experience mirrors your own belief systems back to you. If you want to change your experience, you must change your belief. Your life experiences are great teachers, but if you don't realize that you're in class, you may miss the entire course. Sure, it will be offered again, but you know what happens to tuition every year. If you want to change your experiences, you must change your belief. And it's all about self-responsibility. Now, let's get on with tonight's show. Have you ever wondered why you do the things that you do? Why you may prefer to be alone, or why you choose to save or protect people, or why it's even necessary to share your brilliance with the world? Well, get ready to find out about the five Dharma types. I read this book and I was amazed. Oh my goodness. I was amazed that I could see why I automatically do things without thinking twice. But even more important, understanding my Dharma type led me to better accept myself for who I am. Okay, I can finally stop apologizing and live up to being my true, unique, authentic self. So I'm hoping that you will gain some great insight to this as well. Let's talk to Simon Chakowski, who is the author of The Five Dharma Types, Vedic Wisdom for Discovering Your Purpose and Destiny. Simon teaches Sanskrit and medical astrology at the Ayurvedic Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He also runs a private consulting business based on his trainings in Vedic life mapping and Vedic astrology. By the way, this guy is a powerful astrologer, really focusing in on what is going on with your body medically through astrology. He's brilliant. You can learn more about Simon by going to spirittype.com. That's spirittype.com. You've got to get this book, The Five Dharma Types. It's absolutely amazing. Well, welcome, Simon, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am delighted that you're with me today.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
I have so many questions, and your book, The Five Dharma Types, is so fascinating. And I really felt like I got to know myself better in ways that I've never known myself before, and it totally answered many of the questions I had about me. Like, why did I do those things? And now I fully understand. So it was, now that I understand it, I don't feel so bad. And really, as the book is pointing out, that the things that I thought were maybe weaknesses were just part of my life Dharma type, you know? It was really fascinating.
Correct. And, you know, this isn't something that I've invented, so I'm not taking credit for it. These are ancient archetypes that exist in all of us. And like knowing your gender, whether you're a man or a woman, think about how many choices we make in life. And if you didn't know, for example, if you were a male or female, so many choices will become difficult, like, you know, how to comb your hair and or even what bathroom to walk into at the restaurant.
Exactly.
And in the same way, I think that knowing your archetype, knowing who you are, just makes much 70 to 80% of the choices we have to make in life much simpler.
Oh, yes.
You know?
I could see this immediately. I really love this book. So let's start at the beginning so that we get our definitions down and everybody is understanding where you're coming from as you are speaking. So let's start off with the basic. What is Dharma?
Okay. So a long time ago, our ancestors, and not just in India, but everywhere where civilization was fairly developed, they realized that people want one thing. They want happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be happy.
Absolutely.
And they found that happiness happens when you live with nature rather than against it.
Mm-hmm.
At least for long term, that durable kind of happiness that most of us are looking for. And they called living with nature dharma, and living against nature a dharma, the opposite of dharma. So this term dharma means living in accordance with the natural law of your being. And it has different levels. So for example, there's a dharma of the body, which means eating the right foods for your type, taking care of your body, bathing, brushing your teeth. All of that is a dharma at the level of the body. There is also a dharma at the emotional and psychological level, and this is where the dharma type really comes in. What job is best for you? What's your role in society? How do you relate with others? This is what my book really talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And the third level is the spiritual dharma. How do you relate to creation, to your creator, creatrix? How do you relate to the divine? And knowing your dharma type can really help you find the right path for you, because, even in any religion, but, I'll use Christian example, within the Christian fold, there are prosperity pastors. There are the, renounce and deny yourself school. There's the education school. Just read and learn the scriptures by heart.
Right.
There's so many different approaches, even within one spiritual system, and knowing your dharma type and your dharma can help you find the right one for you.
Isn't that fascinating? Wow, this just opens my eyes into things I've never really looked at before. Now, you teach Sanskrit and
Correct.
Medical astrology. So is this how you got into knowing about the dharma?
Correct, yeah. I would see clients fairly regularly, and one of the two top questions was, what's my purpose in life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would sit back and go, that's a big question, but people really, really want to know. And that's when I started researching this book, and it took 7-8 years before the book came out.
Wow.
So this wasn't an overnight thing, but I found that in a person's chart, I can actually find their dharma type and begin the conversation.
In their astrology chart, you can find? Really?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating.
And for people who didn't have access to, to seeing me or someone else trained in how to find it, there is a questionnaire in the book, or in my website. It's a free thing. So you can go online, find your dharma type, and you can also see, I put up some celebrity, famous educators, famous
uh-huh.
warriors, and so on.
Yeah, that made it very interesting. Now, is this the Vedic wisdom? Is it part of that? I mean, I'm not really understanding what the Vedic part of it is.
Oh, the Vedic part of it is simply, there's dance, and then there's flamenco dance, and then there is Kathak dance. So the Vedic part of it is simply the Vedic take on what we call astrology, how the heavens signal or affect an individual destiny. So Vedic astrology has specific rules, and it's not very different from Western astrology.
I see. So it's just a different way of astrology, how you do it and how you interpret it.
Exactly. It's salsa and ballet.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Okay, now that we got out the basics, this is really interesting because I would love for you to, and I don't know how you're going to do this because there's so much fascinating information in this book, but if you could tell us the five types so that we could basically start identifying with what we may be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there are five Dharma types, and each one is like a frequency, a vibration. And knowing your frequency will help you align with your path so that anything that you want to attract, for example, in your life, comes to you easier. I find that a lot of people are looking for prosperity, for love, for God, spirituality, and what I say is that God, love, and prosperity are on your path. Find that, and they all follow. Instead, we're sort of looking, well, I want to work and make money, and then I'll, find a partner, and then I'll be spiritual. No. Everything follows when you align yourself with your path. And so the idea is resonating with who you really are makes attracting the things you want in your life easier. And so there are these five resonances. And so the first one is, let's start with the outsider, since you're an outsider. The outsider is like the thumb of the hand. If you look at your hand, the thumb points in a different direction.
Right.
The other four are lined up and they're pointing up, and the thumb is pointing down. The role of the outsider is to renew society, to bring something fresh and new. And to do that, you as an outsider are given special tools. And one of these tools is the ability to blend and merge different things. So you are a chameleon in a way. When you're in the business meeting, boy, you're business casual and you know how to talk that language. Right?
Yeah.
But, when you're in another environment, you blend into that just as well. You can be in Hawaii and dance the hula, right along with the natives.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a gift that outsiders are given, and they're given this gift so that you can explore things outside of the four walls of your society, of how you were brought up. Of your culture, you're meant to explore. And the second thing is freedom. For you as an outsider, if I take you by the hand and say, listen, you need to sit at this cubicle for 8 hours a day, I'm going to pay you a lot of money, but you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Boy, that is not a long-term strategy for success.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. Freedom is a key word for me.
Freedom is the key. And the reason that's the case is because if you don't have freedom to explore, you can't live out your Dharma.
Mm.
And here's what I mean by that. So the first part of their life, outsiders are out there exploring, changing fashions, looking at Hinduism and this ism, that ism, this diet, that diet. But there comes a time when it's time to take all of the things you've experimented with and consolidate them. And so the third step for an outsider is sharing your gift. And this is sometimes kind of hard because outsiders have a little bit of anxiety about how they'll be received by society. But you shouldn't, because society stagnates if there are no outsiders, refreshing it constantly.
Interesting.
There's this famous quote that by Edward Abbey that says, society is like a stew. If you don't stir it up once in a while, all the scum rises to the top.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So your job is to keep the scum out, and whatever that may be. It's not just politically. It's in every way. It's to keep a fresh and new investment of energy. So how do you do that? Well, you do that by giving the world your unique expression. So if you've read the book, you know about this. As an outsider, you have to share your unique expression with the world. And for you, it usually comes through combining different things. Think about Madonna. She's an outsider, and she combined, different styles of dress, different sort of musical influences to create sort of her own brand.
Right.
And she always changed it up. Here's the chef who people like steak, people like sushi, why can't we put them together? And this is Asian or fusion cuisine, right?
Uh-huh.
this is the idea of blending things that are different than nobody ever thought of putting together and expressing them in a unique way. This is your dharma as an outsider, sharing your unique expression with the world, and it's something that no one else has ever seen.
So that's why I happen to be on internet radio,
mm-hmm.
with the law of attraction.
It's fascinating, exactly, and it's an alternate media. It's something that hasn't been done.
Yep, that's right.
And there is some anxiety around this because it hasn't been done. You know, a lot of outsiders shortchange themselves and say, "Well, nobody's going to want this. Nobody's going to like this. I'll just stick to my cubicle." And for me as a counselor, and you know, I would say, you're going to hate yourself.
Well, you're going to live your life in misery because you're not following your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So you are so right on target with the outsider. But what about, you talked about educators as well.
Mm-hmm.
What is the educator? I mean, all of these are fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll describe the other types. But one more thing about the outsider is because they have no set path, like you have to create your own path. Every other type has a path. It's a road. You have to take the machete in your own hand and cut a swath through the jungle of the world. But because of that, you are allowed to emulate any of the other types. So an outsider can play an educator. Joseph Campbell was a famous outsider playing an educator. He was a famous teacher and author. And he spent his whole life in academia looking like a nice, decent professor, like Indiana Jones.
Right.
Right? But they have a secret, you know, wild side. So when Bill Moyers asked Joseph Campbell, what is one word you use to describe yourself? He didn't say wisdom or serenity. You know what he said?
No, what?
He said maverick.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he was a maverick. He went to New Guinea and he got on his hands and knees in the dirt, in the jungles, and to study people and become one with them. And this is the idea. You never lose your dharma type. You are who you are. But if you're an outsider, you can play any other role when it suits you.
Isn't that fascinating? And that is so true. That is so true, because in many instances, I serve the role as an educator too, bringing people knowledge about the law of attraction.
And yet what you're teaching is not stuff they teach in college, right? It's outside the bounds.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so the next type, we can talk about an educator. Educators, as the name implies, are born to share wisdom. And whether they're, working in a department store or driving a taxi, they can't help but teach. So if you're at the counter of the department store and you're checking out, they can't help but say, "Hey, did you know that? Yeah, this garment was actually first invented in 1945, and the person was da 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 da." They can't help but share pertinent information. Or if they're driving a cab, "Hey, did you know that this building was built by this guy, and the reason for it was da 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 da."
Wow.
They love to share information, and in fact, people naturally are attracted to educators because educators are kind of non-harmful. They're cream puffs. They're not aggressive, and people can see that there is a non-judgmental quality about educators. So the example I use is you can be at a bus stop. It's raining. It's 2 a.m., and somebody will just walk up to you and start telling you their story. "I just broke up with my boyfriend, and boy, we've been together so many years, and he took the cat, and I didn't even know you, but I don't know why I'm telling you this, but, you know?" And
yeah.
If you're an educator, this happens consistently. It happens a lot because people seek counsel from you. So your role as an educator is to provide wisdom and counsel to the world.
Wow.
There are weak points, and I'll tell you, you know, there are certain Achilles heels that each type also has. So, for example, educators tend to be lusty. They tend to have a little bit of a powerful sensual nature that usually they keep kind of tamped down because it doesn't, it's not right to appear that way in society. But if you look at famous educators, even Gandhi was an educator type. He wrote openly about his infidelities and his desire to conquer his lust. Other educators, Ben Franklin was well known for his cavorting, and more recently Tiger Woods, another educator type. That, see, people look up to educators. They
right.
Whether you're man or woman, whatever your profession is, if you're an educator, people see you as an embodiment of truth and wisdom and purity. And when you fall, when you sort of betray that trust of, you know, people have in you, boy, it's a long way up. So my advice to educators is be honest with who you are. Express your sensuality in a way that's honest, but that also doesn't hurt other people. So that's a key element for educators.
Interesting.
And it's okay to be lusty.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But it's like Tiger Woods. He did do that, and he fell from grace. Now he's bringing himself back up, but it's still a hard road for him.
Correct. It's a long way up. And if, you know, if we had known, I would have counseled him to say, listen, be honest with your wife and say, hey, I want sex outside of the whatever. I mean, I don't know the situation.
Sure.
And it's actually unfair of me to bring him up because it's not fair. But
you're doing it as an example because we can all see and identify. So I'm glad you did.
And unfortunately, they are public figures and often fair game. But honestly, I don't know the intimate details of their situation.
Sure.
But if, as an educator type, you know, that I would have certainly said, hey, make sure that everyone in your life knows about, be honest with the world, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the educator. Then then we have the warrior type.
Right.
And the job of the warrior is to protect that which cannot protect itself. Angelina Jolie is a warrior.
Really?
And she's, you know, we all know she's adopted orphans, but she's also a fighter for UN causes, landmines and all sorts of trying to help the people who are oppressed and cannot help themselves. Now, if you're a warrior, you don't have to be out there fighting constantly. A warrior can simply mean a single mom taking care of her kids, like a mama tiger,
mm-hmm.
and protecting them because they can't protect themselves. It can be an environmentalist fighting for, to save a tree or a park or the planet. But the idea for the warrior is that they must have a just cause in their life,
right.
Or else they'll dissipate. So warriors need a challenge. They need a goal to focus on. So if you're a warrior, some good tips are write out your goals. If you don't have specific ones, then find one. Whatever it is, you have to have something to focus on. Write them out, put them on your fridge, and look at it every day. Warriors are like predators. They have to focus on something very intently, and they have to see their truth. So me, I can talk to a warrior all day long, but until I show them, until they see what they need to do, it doesn't really click. They're more visual.
So are there warriors who don't necessarily know what their passion is, so therefore they're just kind of stagnant?
Oh, waiting? You bet. And what happens to warriors who haven't locked onto their just cause, the thing they want to fight for, is they turn to, they pick fights, they drink alcohol, they start to gamble, they look for challenge in areas that they shouldn't be looking for challenges.
Interesting.
Warriors always need stimulation and challenge. Great quality of the warrior is they know how to take the lead in any situation. They're able to make quick decisions. I'm not a warrior, so if there's an earthquake going on and people are asking, hey, what should we do? Well, let me think about it. Let's see. And in the meantime, stuff is breaking down around us. But warriors just instinctively know how to take the lead and move.
Interesting. It's interesting, as you're talking, I can pick up these people who I know in my mind, and I can see who they are. This is just so fascinating. Although they still need to take a test, but I'm just thinking that, boy, this person is really a warrior, and they have not discovered their goal yet or their passion.
Yeah. And that's exactly, James Dean was a warrior. And here's literally the rebel without a cause.
Yeah.
You know, he looked to push. He kept pushing the limits and pushing until he pushed too hard. But he was in an outsider life cycle. So the thing is, once you know your Dharma type, then there's another level to take it. You can look at, what life cycle am I in? So in his case, he was a warrior, but living in an outsider life cycle, which made it difficult for him to find his just cause, his path. So he kept pushing the envelope, which is what outsiders like to do. But he never really had time to find it. So there are a lot of famous warriors, but that's a case of a warrior who didn't find it and suffered the consequences.
Wow. Oh, goodness. This is so fascinating. Well, can we go on to laborers?
Yeah, you bet. So laborers are the community builders. Laborers, and when people take the test, they say, man, who'd want to be a laborer? But that's not accurate, because, Oprah is a laborer. Harrison Ford is a laborer. Pavarotti was a laborer. And one thing they all have in common, in my opinion, is that they're all very down-to-earth, earthy people who have there are two thinking centers in the body. One is in the brain and one is in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Called the enteric nervous system. In the gut is where most of our 95% of our serotonin, our neurotransmitters, are actually created in the gut. And the gut is the center of our emotions and our immunity. So laborers have a very strong connection to their gut, so they can feel things without necessarily explaining how they know them.
Wow.
For example, Pavarotti, who was an amazing singer, he couldn't read music.
Mm.
But who cares?
Yeah.
Because he felt it. He knew exactly the right notes to sing. So there is this sense of a deep visceral intelligence in laborers, and they need to create a community. Look at Oprah and what she's done with her book clubs and with her just giving gifts, cars and stuff to the audience. This is what laborers love to do, is to support a community and be supported by it.
Interesting.
Whether it's backyard barbecues or office pools, betting pools, whatever it is, laborers need community. And their gift is the ability to be just a solid, stalwart sort of presence. So when a child is having a tantrum or the boss is yelling, they can take it. They're like, okay, this person's just being immature. That's why they make the best caregivers. If you start yelling at the warrior, after a while, depending on how evolved they are, they're going to yell back.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you're going to run. But the laborer is able to take on a lot of weight and handle it. So that's why they make great nurses, doctors, EMT. The service industry comes natural. They know how to do a good job and to do it well. Nobody does the job as well as a laborer type. And this is a blessing, because we wouldn't have society, we wouldn't have community without that, without that gift. So laborers know how to love the deepest as well. And in my book, I talk about even different styles of music So the blues is a laborer style of music. It's not so much about the words, right? I lost my baby. I lost my baby. Okay, you lost your baby. No, it's the feeling, right?
I get it. Yeah. Well, so are you saying that the laborer could actually be more intuitive?
Oh, absolutely, because they think with their visceral intelligence. Now, that can also act against them, because laborers, because they have a deep sense of chemistry and they can also smell out, they can sniff out people, laborers make awesome detectives. Columbo is a classic example of a laborer type. You know, that old show.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your listeners might be.
Well,
quite
I remember it. Yeah, I'm there.
So laborers can sniff out people, but they can sometimes just form conclusions without due thought. And here's an interesting thing. You know, Obama is an educator type, the professor, right?
Right.
And educators and laborers speak a totally different language. Educators are in their head, laborers are in their heart. And that's part of the reason why Obama has had a very difficult time getting his message across to labor types and you know, the Midwest, which are typically laborer states, you know, kind of down home, earthy values, community. They just don't get him and he doesn't get them. But part of the way to cross the bridge is to understand that we're speaking different languages and to create more of an effort of understanding. So even couples in a relationship, if one person is an educator, the other is a laborer, learn to talk to each other. And I discuss that in the book, exactly how, you know, to understand how this other person thinks and what to say and how, you know, how to see life from their world. How to see the world from their point of perspective.
Right. Wow. How fascinating. That's so true. What about merchants?
Okay. So merchants, oh my gosh, how fun is it to be a merchant?
Really?
Merchants are the happiness brokers of the world.
Really?
So it's their job, it's their dharma, their purpose in life. This is what they're made for, is to bring... you know, if a laborer builds a house, the merchant makes it fabulous. They decorate it. They make it comfortable. Merchants are made to bring humor, light, and comfort and luxury into the world. So for a merchant type, and, you know, and we are a merchant society, the United States of America, which is why we are arguably the most comfortable, the most wealthy, the most... luxury-oriented country in the world.
Right.
Because countries, just like people, have a dharma type. You know, Mexico is a laborer country, and merchants and laborers actually get along really well. They're both good for each other, which is why, you know, we Americans, especially in the Southwest, we love this idea of relaxing on the beach, sipping a margarita.
Absolutely.
And, you know, little guitar in the background.
Yeah.
Because we live in a merchant culture that says, go, go, go. We got to achieve. We got to make more money, get more luxury, get more stuff, fill up. But the antidote is the laborer. So this is how you know who you're compatible with. Warriors and educators, compatible. They each have what the other needs. Merchants and laborers, compatible. Because this is a case of opposites attract. Each type has what the other needs. And so it works that way with countries too. But the thing about the merchant is here's the weak point, and it's very interesting because the merchant feels empty. So they're constantly trying to fill that emptiness by, you know, telling the best joke, making the most money, having the most fun, you know, climbing the highest mountain. They want to fill up. And all of those things fill them for a while. But what really is the antidote for the merchant is charity.
Wow.
It's giving, not filling. And it's counterintuitive, at least to the merchant's ears, because when you give, you actually get so much more in return.
Right.
And in a karmic sense, you know, and merchants understand this well because, you know, the merchant world is about lending and so on. When you give, having people karmically owe you is better than you owing them because you hold all the cards. That's why the Buddha, who really preached a lot to merchants, he actually gave his first sermon to a couple of merchants. This is a little known story where these two merchants were driving their cart and they got stuck. And the Buddha was in the forest and just shining, you know, bright aura. And he had decided he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to talk to anybody because being enlightened is not an easy task. He said, nobody's going to want to listen to me, you know, outsider, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting to go out and share their unique gift. But then the merchants find him and he starts, and they give him a gift. They gave him some food and whatever gifts they could. And then he looked at them and he immediately got that. They got his blessing. And he gave them a special mantra. He fixed their cart and gave them a blessing and said, always feed those who are hungry and you will always be blessed. And this is a teaching for the merchants. Feed others.
Wow.
Give what you can. You don't have to empty your bank account. Give what you know, if there are clothes in your closet you don't need, give them away. If there's advice that you can give to somebody based on your experience, give it. Even giving a compliment. You know, I was sitting around one time. I'm a kind of a clumsy educator and really don't know how to dress or any of this stuff. And a merchant friend of mine came in and said, hey, you look great in those jeans. And just the energy of, and it was a sincere compliment. That's the thing. You can't fake it if you're a merchant. It has to be come from. although there's even something to be said for faking it until you make it, right?
Right.
But that those words he said, they care. I was floating on a cloud all day long because it uplifted me. And that's the merchant's dharma, is to uplift people, to be the happiness broker for others. And give, and you will be filled to beyond the max. That's the mantra for the merchant.
Wow, that is so cool. So you said that warrior and educators go hand in hand, and the merchant and labor go hand in hand. Where does the outsider go?
Ah, so the outsider can fit with any type, and it depends on which type they are playing. So for you, if you're playing an educator, then you would want to gravitate around other educators. That's also a good compatibility, or other warriors. However, as an outsider, you can, you know, you're able to see how every side thinks.
Right.
But the advice for the outsider is, if you're playing an educator, then you're most compatible with other educators and warriors, and be careful of when you interact with laborers, and be mindful that what you say is what they hear.
Uh huh.
You know?
Oh yeah, that's got me in trouble a lot of times.
You know, it's like you pass someone and say, oh, we gotta go to lunch. We gotta finish by 5 and go to lunch. And they think, why is she giving me orders? Who does she think she is?
Oh,
and,
yes.
And you in your mind are thinking, I have something to give them, to tell them something exciting. And right, like your intention wasn't to give orders, but it was just misheard.
Yes. Interesting. Oh, my goodness. This is so brilliant. I love this. This is right on target. Wow. You are incredible with this. How long did it take for you to come up with? This is a huge book.
Jules, it took me 8 years. And honestly, like I say, this is not really my information. This is stuff that I found exists in almost every ancient culture. You know, certainly in India, it's been best preserved, but there are Scandinavian cultures, even in Hawaii. When you go to Hawaii, you know, think about the word kahuna. Right, the big kahuna? Kahuna is an educator.
Oh, wow.
That's the priestly class. The kahunas are the ones who shared the wisdom. And there's a li'i, you know, there's the Ali'i highway, and Ali'i means chief or the royal, the warrior class.
Yeah.
So these castes, these classes existed in many, many societies. The problem is, over time, they all degenerated into these horrible hierarchies, to where even in Hawaii, you know, in the old days, if you walked in the shadow of one of the ruling people, mm-hmm. they would cut your head off. And it's a ridiculous perversion of these classes into hierarchies. So in the Dharma types, in chapter one, I make it clear that each of these five types are just like fingers in your hand. No one type is better than another. They each have different gifts to share with the world. So I'm trying to bring back the real essence of these archetypes, divested of their sort of cultural baggage.
Wow. This is so important. Like I said at the beginning, I didn't realize that I was going to learn so much about myself. And in a way, it helped me to distinguish what really is what people would call weaknesses, and they aren't. They're just the way they are. So I was able to understand and even forgive myself more. So it's a new way of looking at me. Wait a minute, I'm not so wrong after all. That's just the way I am. By golly. And if I can do that with me, the whole world can literally transform themselves by reading this book. And not only that, I think it's going to help people get along with people much better.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that. And in fact, I'm working on the second book, which is called Sex, Love, and Dharma.
Really?
And, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah. What's that going to be like?
And that's the one that's focusing specifically on relationships. And one of the things that's in this book, and it takes up the entire part of the first part of the book, is you can't have a solid, stable relationship if you are chronically unhealthy and if you ignore the dharma of the body. Mm. So I talk a lot about, because think about it, you know, if you have bad breath, your achy joints, and you're just grumpy, well, your relationship is not likely to be as successful as if you were vibrantly healthy. So part of the book I talk about, people will be disappointed. Let's see, sex positions. And they open it up, and there's no sex positions in there, although there's a lot about sex. But and they'll see, this is how I have to eat and drink and so on. So I've taken a little bit of a radical approach in the Sex, Love, and Dharma book, which is really starting from the ground up. And then, of course, we do get into sex and love and soulmates and all that stuff. So the Dharma type has a lot to say about compatibility and how to just relate to others.
So do you do private sessions with people about their Dharma and astrology?
I do. And I've been very busy in the last 7 months teaching here at the Institute. So I normally don't take a lot of clients during that time. But over the summer, since the school year is over, I am more available. So,
wow.
Yes.
And we want to send everyone to your website, which is, what is your website?
It is spirittype.com. So spirittype.com.
And there we can actually take quiz that's going to tell us our Dharma type, but also we could set up appointments with you for private sessions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is so powerful. I'm going to be getting a private session immediately. There's more I've got to know, and this book is just dynamite. Absolutely dynamite. Where can they get it?
It's available everywhere, Amazon.com, Ayurveda.com, which is the Ayurvedic Institute website where I teach, BarnesandNoble.com, should be available everywhere. If your local store doesn't have it, they can order it within a couple of days.
Yeah, everybody's got to get this book. They're going to be such a happy person after they read it. It's amazing. I mean, I could not put it down. It was like, holy cow. I'm just really feel blessed that your publisher sent it to me. I'm going, wow, this is one of the best books I have read. So I'm going to urge everyone to literally purchase this as soon as they can and to contact you.
Jules, you're amazing. Thank you. I certainly appreciate it. And again, it's, you know, I don't sell anything. It's just a book that I have that I've written. So I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, you're a blessing, really. This is important. It's something that everybody needs to realize. And as you said, it goes way back, and it's just we're beginning to remember in our own cells through the DNA all of this information. And I guess that's why I resonated so much with it. It's like, yeah, this is real. This is right on. And this I can resonate with every type. It just made life a little bit easier to understand. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I'll end with the final thing. You know, the ancients were interested more in reducing our karmic footprint than our carbon footprint. And in terms of helping yourself and helping the environment, one of the best things you can do is to know your Dharma type and create less karma and live your Dharma.
Mm. Powerful. Thank you, Simon, so much. This has been a great interview, and I know that the audience has loved every second of this.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to send everyone to my show page to read an excerpt of Simon's upcoming book about a chapter on water. It's absolutely fascinating. Did you know that drinking lukewarm water about 30 minutes before you eat can dramatically increase your success for weight release? There's so much more in this great chapter. So go to loaradionetwork.com/Jules to read it. And don't forget to check out your Dharma type by going to spirittype.com. And now it's time to say goodbye. We'll be back with you again next week. And until then, have a great one. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.